All right, all right, all right. We're back another week. We took the last week off just because we wanted to. We don't have to explain it.
Yeah, we're growing.
Anyway, we got a tight cast today. Kind of a sad day, but we'll introduce everybody first. Tosh, how are you doing?
Hello, good. How is everybody?
Great.
Doing great. Great to have you on here again, too. We missed you.
Oh, I missed you guys, too.
Seems like it's been years since we got you in.
It does feel like it's been a long time. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm great. I am great. Just trying to finish school, graduate this May. I'm pretty good.
Oh, that's
amazing.
Woo! That's awesome to hear. Are you moving into a particular field right after?
I'm going to start applying and sending resumes out. If they bite, then yeah. But if not, I'm going to just go ahead to the four-year college around the corner and finish up my bachelor's. So this would be an associate degree. And just go ahead and keep going. I'm not going to sit around and wait, because if I do, I'll forget it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. If I set things down, then yeah, I'm never going to pick it back up.
Exactly.
Just got that gene. So, as mentioned before, kind of a solemn affair we got going on here, considering probably one of the most influential mangakas, I think I said that right, has passed away. I don't know if it was a law in Japan or if it was just the family's wishes, but we learned yesterday that Akira Toriyama, famed writer and creator of, most famously, Dragon Ball, Dr. Slump, and a host of other things as well. His artwork is very, very iconic. You would know if you saw it anywhere. Dragon Warrior, Chrono Trigger, like I said before. I think the Dragon Quest has a TV show out now that we just heard about, right?
Yeah, it came out a couple years ago, actually, but I'm not sure where it was streaming, but it's now up on Netflix, and the series is also up in its entirety on Crunchyroll.
Oh, perfect. I think a friend of mine was watching it. I think it was on Hulu originally. But yeah.
That might be why I haven't heard about it.
I was introduced to Dragon Ball from Toonami back in the high school, back in the mid to late 90s. And I've been a fan ever since. I didn't even know when I played Dragon Warrior on the NES and Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo that he was the artist that designed the characters. But looking back now, you could tell that is his artwork. You know, it's very iconic. It's different than a lot of other manga and anime that's out there. He's not, I mean, I guess a lot of people might not know who he is. Who is the Studio Ghibli guy? Because that guy's super famous.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Miyazaki, okay. You know, I thought it was Miyazaki too, but then at the same time, the guy who does the Dark Souls, his last name is also Miyazaki, so I thought I was getting it mixed up. So what are some of your guys' first experiences with, or favorite experiences with Akira Toriyama?
I'll go first.
Okay.
My introduction to him was, of course, the Dragon Ball Z series in the 2000s on Toonami. Just like you said, I was in middle school, and it was something my mom introduced to me, actually. She knew that I was into anime, but I didn't know what anime was at the time. It was just stuff that was on, like, Kids WB, like Beyblade, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, stuff like that. So as I got older, she was like, hey, there's some older shows from Japan you might want to check out. So she introduced me to Dragon Ball Z and Yu Yu Hakusho over on Cartoon Network. And I was hooked when I first watched that show, because of the period of time we were in, you know, there wasn't really streaming and we had to rely on video rental places. I couldn't really watch Dragon Ball until that was introduced on TV. So I kind of had a backwards introduction into the series. I never played Chrono Trigger or any of the other games, Dragon Quest. I think you said Dragon Warrior. I never even heard of that.
Dragon Warrior was Dragon Quest in the U.S. up until like the middle of it, and then it started syncing the names Dragon Quest. So it's the same game as Dragon Quest, but when it ported over to America, for whatever reason, they put Dragon Warrior.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never really played those when I was younger. So I guess for me, the sole thing for me for Akira Toriyama is just the Dragon Ball series over the years. And I tried to figure out a good comparison to explain to everybody who may not know who Toriyama is, just how significant of a loss this is. And you two, please, please feel free to correct me, because I have no other way to compare this. But as you know, you were saying, Robert, earlier, how he's just so inspirational, influential with his character designs and his stories, and just how he basically paved the way for future manga creators and anime creators. The impact of this loss, I would say, equates to how the comic book community lost Stan Lee and his inspiration and influence over, you know, people who grew up with his work. I know that it's, you know, comparing apples to oranges when it comes to how long Stan Lee's work has been around, because Akira Toriyama, he died at 68, I think it said. Like, he died young. He still had another 20 years that he could have done more. He left projects undone.
And
easily. It's honestly, that's the best comparison I can make in terms of a community as a whole being hurt by this news, and just thanking him for what he's given us over the last 20, 30 years. So you guys, please, you know, correct me. Would you say that's a fair comparison to the gravity of what we're going through right now?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair comparison for sure. I 100% agree with that.
Okay. So yeah, this one's going to hurt for a little while. It's still kind of hard to believe, you know, in all of the different in memoriams going around on Facebook and Instagram, and just, you know, I have a Dragon Ball Z keychain on my keys, and I went to the corner store. Someone working at the corner store recognized my keychain. I was just like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't think it would be recognized. Just because you don't really see a whole lot of anime people just out and about showing their fandom. But, you know, even someone who knows the show, or someone who doesn't know the show, but they know who Goku is, because Goku has a Thanksgiving parade balloon.
Yep. He's got a Macy's float now.
And then didn't they say that he was going to be the ambassador for the 2024 Olympics of Tokyo? Right. Like, if you don't know Toriyama, you know Dragon Ball or Goku. Different anime or cartoons have been inspired by Dragon Ball Z in terms of, like, you know, Ultra Instinct Shaggy, for example.
Yeah.
You know, characters going Super Saiyan with the hair, or just fighting choreography, you know, comparing. There was an episode, I noticed this, and then I'll let Mike talk. There was an episode I saw with the Powerpuff Girls. I was like, why does this look so familiar? And then there was a meme about how the inspiration for one of the fights with Blossom, a laser beam goes by her head and she tilts it to the side, her head to the side. The beam explodes in the back, and it's similar to how Trunks was deflected, was dodging a laser beam by tilting his head, and an explosion happens in the back. You know, it's... All right, I don't want to go on a long tangent, but it's... This hurts. This hurts a lot.
Certainly a loss that's going to be felt by many. Mike, what was your inspiration, or what was your introductions to his work?
I'm a tad bit older than you. So, the first time I saw him was maybe, it was Dragon Ball, but I want to say maybe 96, maybe 97, I can't remember. It was the first Dragon Ball Broly. It came out, in, I think, in Japan in 93. And I saw, I was working at Circuit City, so it was somewhere around late 90s is when I saw it. And I had it in my closet for a year before I watched it. Then one day I had a guy came over, and it wasn't even subtitled. It was just straight Japanese. And but I think by this time it was on TV somewhere. So we were familiar with Dragon Ball characters. We knew who was who. We watched it in Japanese. That was the first time I had really... Actually, I just said I had seen Dragon Ball, but that stands out, you know, as when the first time I saw it. I don't remember the first time I actually watched Dragon Ball in general, but I knew who he was, but I knew Goku by that time. That's the first time I remember. It's pretty interesting trying to just sit there and watch it in Japanese, but still, we did it. But I definitely feel like the anime community will miss him, the manga community. You know, he's definitely a big name. My son came down this morning. It was the first thing he told me before he said good morning. You know, hey, Dad, did you hear that Akira Toriyama died? I was like, yeah, man, I've been hearing about it all day. Of course I know about it. But he's more an anime than I am. He was feeling something about it. I mean, as he should. He's definitely a great creator. His character design is, I'm looking at it from a comic book point of view, his character design is top notch. I do love that. I love the way his art and his artistry. You know, guys that have skills and they're just talented. And he was one of those guys. You know, you can't argue with that. People can fight over who's stronger between Goku and Superman all day, but they can't deny the guys what he gave to the community as a whole. You know, his art as a whole gave a lot to the geek community. So he's definitely up there with those top creators.
Yeah, even some of our Western comics have been influenced by Dragon Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Can't name any specific instances, but I know I've seen it. And you see people all over the place, you know, even in WWE, you had people coming out and saying armor. You know, it's just a highly influential series that the guy created.
And, yeah, definitely. Matter of fact, maybe a month ago? You guys know off mic I'm going through kitchen issues with construction. But I was in the office, my wife and I were picking out the flooring for the new flooring when they were replacing. And the guy had a little Vegeta pin on his hat. I said, that Vegeta? And I guess he was surprised I knew who it was. And from that point on, we went on like a 30-minute extra tangent on anime and cartoons, and hopefully he'll get my house fixed faster. But we went on.
I was going to give you a discount.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take either one at this point. But he's coming out this Tuesday. Matter of fact, he's coming to my house. But we talked for an extra 30 minutes about Dragon Ball and Macross and Robotech and all just anime, Transformers, all that came from the Vegeta pin when he had on his hat. You know, I had another guy I work with. He had the Majin symbol on his head, the little M, and nobody recognized it. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute, is that a Majin hat? And he was one of those army guys trying to be hard. I know what that hat is, man. We're trying to be hard. You're just a big nerd, and I know what's going on. I don't hide my nerdiness. I wear mine proudly. But once I called him out, we started talking about anime again and things like that. I don't even call him out, but I addressed it. So, yeah, he'll definitely be missed.
Yeah, it's good that he at least has already basically has a successor that has been working for like the past 10 years. Torotaro, mm-hmm. He has been doing the artwork for the manga for Dragon Ball Super since 2015. Now I don't know who's going to take over creative, because Toriyama still had, you know, writing credits and all the creative control through Shueisha, I think is the company that owns the marketing rights for it. But it'd be interesting to see if this is going to affect the new Daimyo show that's coming out, or if it's going to affect the manga itself, because you never really know who knows how Japanese law is, for one thing, if mm-hmm. that company is going to end up taking control of creative control, or if it has already been, you know, passed down to Torotaro and he'll take over, you know, creative control of Dragon Ball. Not really something that's going to be, you know, handled anytime soon, I'm for sure.
No. They're still making new Dragon Ball manga? They're still making it?
Yeah. Yeah, the manga has been going on nonstop since Super started. There's arcs in the manga that they haven't even made shows for.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a Moro arc, and there's a one with another angel. And I think they're just right now doing the Dragon Ball superhero part in the manga. And they're having Ultra Instinct Goku fight Beast Gohan to see, you know, or not fight, but, you know, spar.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's kind of anticipating the outcome of that one.
It sounds amazing.
I know. I want them to animate that.
Yes, please. Please.
Yeah, if people were worried about the characters getting too many transformations, they've already gotten a couple more in the manga that haven't even been shown. Vegeta got the power of the God of Destruction. I think Goku has basically a mastered version of Ultra Instinct now. But we haven't seen that on the screen yet, so we don't know. And then this new show is going to be putting everybody back as kids, so who knows how that's gonna play out. But I'm assuming it's still going to be coming out, Dragon Ball Daimyo. I'm not 100% sure when. I thought it was debuting this summer, but I wouldn't be surprised if it got a delay. But yeah,
absolutely.
Rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. Extremely influential man, and yeah, his legacy will last for sure. He's probably one of the most influential mangakas out there.
Yeah.
And speaking of manga,
rest in peace.
You guys got to watch Avatar on Netflix.
Yeah,
who wants to lead that one off?
I'll let Mike go.
I go first on this one. And I wouldn't even call Avatar anime. Wasn't that an American made show? It was in anime style?
I guess, yeah, that's technically true.
Yeah. But unlike apparently the consensus, I actually enjoyed it. There were some rough patches here and there, but overall, I really enjoyed it. There wasn't anywhere near. They had the other live action movie beat in the first 5 minutes. You know, just that opening scene of them bending was just, compared to the movie, was way better. I said last week that it was a little, I didn't need hour episodes, but the further I got into it, yeah, it could have been a little longer in general. I think they skipped a lot of important parts and they could have fleshed it out more. But I think they got the soul of what they were trying to do. I enjoyed the bending. I enjoyed the fights. I enjoyed pretty much the whole thing. I just didn't like we said offline, Bumi's makeup, like it was so cheap it's gonna fall off. You know, other than that, I thought it was terrible. But other than
that, the guy with the burner on his eye?
No, that's Zuko. Bumi is the king of what was that
Omashu.
Yeah, Earthbending City Omashu. One of Aang's friends from way back in the day who lived 100 years. He was there the whole time. Bumi looked terrible. But other than that, I can go with the show. Zuko was annoying, but he was supposed to be. Uncle Iroh was cool as he was supposed to be. I think Sokka was the best one. I think he was the best overall actor on the show. The kid that played Aang was annoying. Aang was annoying at that first season. He really was. When he came out the ice, Aang was annoying. And that kid had that kind of same vibe. So, Aang wanted to slide with seals and the Fire Nation is over here destroying the whole company. But I had no problem with it. None. It could have fleshed out a little bit more, but I think it was all right. And maybe what's giving me the ability to deal with this show compared to most people is I went through 20 years of comic books being murdered and massacred that I'm used to this kind of thing. I feel like that meme with the guys the first time. I feel like that guy. I feel like, yeah. So I'm kind of used to this.
The one on the news.
Yeah, the one in the news, right. That meme, like, it's the first time. Yeah, I'm that guy. I've been through this before, so the changes were made didn't really bother me that much. So. But I enjoyed it. I'd recommend it. Mm-hmm. Natasha?
You watched the animated show, correct?
I watched every episode.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm on the other side. The first two episodes weren't that bad. But when we got to episode 3 with them going to Kyoshi Island, that's when it started getting bad for me. And it just got progressively worse. I only made it through episode 5. But for me, I would say that because we were burned once already by the live action movie, I was really hoping that they would learn their lesson and just stick to the source material that we were given. And when we heard that the original creators got off of the project, I got very concerned. And I see why. So, sorry. So, are we getting into spoilers with this, or should I just leave it as an overall?
It's been out 2 weeks. I'm fine with it.
Does it do anything that's different than the cartoon?
Not really.
Oh, yeah.
You think?
Yes, it does. Oh, to me it does. In terms of like how they progress through different story points, yes. Mm-hmm. I believe I 100% think they do. And I've had discussions with my boyfriend with this. So with Aang, the whole him being trapped in an iceberg in the first place in the show was him running away from his responsibility of being the Avatar. He was afraid. And he was pretty much trying to like run off, and he got trapped in the iceberg. In this show, he was in the live action, he was just kind of like taking a night ride on Appa and ended up getting caught in a storm that resulted in him going into the Avatar state, I suppose, to protect himself. Because he got caught in a wave and he was starting to drown, and so I think to save himself, he went into the Avatar state and created that ice sphere.
didn't he run away from his responsibilities there too? I mean, he didn't want to be Avatar. He was vocal about that, and he left because he didn't want to be Avatar.
He was, but when he came out of that iceberg, he kind of just accepted the responsibilities of the Avatar rather quickly compared to how he did in the animated show.
Yeah, they had less time, so he couldn't spend the whole time, being frumpy on it. He had to go by kind of quick. The series had, 20 episodes for that one season?
Yeah, but he started, even by towards the end of the first season in the animated show, he was still kind of like goofing off and wasn't really focused on learning the other elements. Like, that wasn't his priority, I guess. He still had that mindset of a child. He wanted to live his life as a 11-year-old kid. So with this show, now, Mike, you said you did finish it, right?
I finished it, yeah.
Now, I heard, this was ruined for me, I heard that he didn't do a single bit of water bending in the season. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see any water bending.
Okay, that's problem number one. He's supposed to learn water bending in the first season of the animated show. And from the promotions, by the way, they're getting renewed for the seasons 2 and 3. And from the promo art, it looks like they're following book 2, which is earth, and book 3, which is fire.
Right.
Each book represents the element that Aang learns how
to. That I give you that, definitely.
So he's supposed to learn how to waterbend in the first season. And I'm not done the live action show, but the fact that he doesn't at all, that bothers me a little bit. You know, what creative change made that decision, you know, basically be okayed on the writer's room floor? And even with Katara, like the whole, okay, let me stop because I'm really getting fired up here, but in the animated show, and I just rewatched this, Katara slowly masters her bending. We even see in season 1, she practices, but she still struggles. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing about them going to the Northern Water Tribe was for both Aang and Katara to learn bending. It had nothing to do with saving the Northern Water Tribe from the Fire Nation, like they're portraying in the live-action film show. Excuse me. So, when I get to the final episode of the live-action show, I am hoping that we could at least see the waterbending master from the Northern Tribe, whose name I'm forgetting at the moment.
Paku,
at the very least, and maybe tease that he's going to teach Aang waterbending at the beginning of season 2 and then progress onward. But for Katara, back to Katara, her waterbending was still very basic in the animated show, but in the live action, she's mastering it kind of quickly just off of the water scroll, and that's not accurate. Like, the whole thing about the animated show and all of these characters' growths was seeing over the seasons how much time had passed and how their bending had evolved. So seeing Katara master the water bending kind of quickly without a master kind of disappoints me a little bit. When it comes to Omashu and the whole thing with Bumi, he's not as kooky as he is portrayed in the animated show, which is fine. I suppose you can only, you know, do so much in live action. But like we had said earlier, the makeup was just bad. Some of the CGI was bad too. But not for the bending. The bending was great. But there were some moments where the CGI just did not look great. I think there was one where Aang was in the Avatar state in episode 1 or 2. It looked kind of bad. What's another? Well, the biggest thing for me that was a big change was episode 5, when the group comes across the village where the forests have been burned. Mm-hmm. And the forest spirit, which is supposed to be a big panda, starts taking villagers. In the animated show, it's just the panda, the spirit of the forest. In the live action show, they've brought on not only that spirit panda, but the spirit owl, who doesn't even show up until season 2 of the animated show. and he's supposed to be in a library in the middle of the desert with a whole bunch of knowledge, because that's where the group goes to learn about Susan's comet. Or no, I'm sorry. That's when they learn about the solar eclipse. So they just took characters from season 2 and put them in season 1, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm going on too much of a tangent here. I apologize.
No, you got a passion, and it's.
I mean, I love the cartoon. Invested. Me and my daughter, we were watching it myself. But a lot of it is just pacing, and like they don't have the time, and they can't go through these long, drawn out things. They only gave it what, 6 episodes, 8 at the most. Yeah. They just don't have the time to give us 8. And then I looked at some of the.
I understand that, you know, there's some things they have to limit because it is a live action show. But when they dive into changing some of the core stuff from the story, that's where I have that's mostly my issue. Like, I need Aang to learn some waterbending soon, because book 2 is about earth and he's supposed to meet Toph and practice his earthbending at that point.
Right.
When it comes to like with the name of the guy from the Northern Water Tribe still escapes my mind. Did they
mention Paku? The Master Paku?
Paku, thank you. Yes, Paku. So when it comes to Paku, I haven't seen it yet, but I need him to teach Aang waterbending, but also have Katara, you know, stand up and be like, look, women can waterbend. You know, that was one of the main reasons between the Northern Tribe and the Southern Tribe, you know, why Katara's ancestors, I think it was her mother. Yeah, her mother went to the Southern Tribe. It was, you know, just about how women were viewed in the Northern Tribe. So the stuff that helps evolve the characters of the show, I need them to keep that element at the very least. If you have to cut some stuff out, fine. But also don't mix characters that were supposed to be introduced in a different season and pull them into an earlier one. Because I'm going to ask, why are they here? Like, what is the point? I'm done.
Yeah, you can't leave things open-ended like that, because, you know, people are going to pick it out.
It's hard, because your expectations are already kind of low, given what we've already been presented with the live action movie. You hope for better. So,
do you think we got better?
Shyamalan did you guys dirty.
do you think we got better, or do you think it's the same?
I do think that the live action show is better than the movie. Hands down. The bending looks better. The characters have, or in terms of their personalities, spot on. Sokka, definitely spot on. I'm not bored with watching this like I was with the live action film. It's just some of the story differences, that the choices that they've made so far that I've seen, I'm questioning why the creative change was done. That's all. And see, it's like the farther the episodes I get in, the more changes I see. And that's what's making me not like it. That's why I'm hoping when I get through the last 3 episodes, I'll have a different perspective. You know, so anyone in the comments that's about to bash me, sorry. You know, I'm just giving my reaction to the first 5 episodes that I've watched. I've tried to emphasize that. But this is one of those things where I'm like, it's a good try, but I still believe that animated properties that are anime inspired, like Avatar, should just not be touched.
No, I give you that. I agree with you on that.
Live action.
I agree 100% with that. Again, this goes back to me being old, way back to the He-Man Masters of the Universe movie. It didn't need to be a live action. It wasn't anything like the movie. So, I mean, I've been through this round. The X-Men movies. Why is Wolverine 6 feet tall? Why are they, you know, centering this around Wolverine? I know he sells the tickets, but he's not the one. See, I've been down this road with this. I guess I'm just used to these things by now. I've already, being the fan that I am of comics, they don't get stuff right. They're not going to get it right. They're going to change it to the medium and to make it more accessible to the people who haven't watched all 300 episodes or whatever, or read 30 years of comics like me. You know, my expectation was so low, so low that I really wasn't expecting much until I guess I got more than I was expecting. So that's probably why I liked it. But I've been down this road with this disappointed stuff a dozen times already. You know, I can point out 100 mistakes in all these Marvel movies. You know, so I think they're being kinder to us with Avatar than they have with some of those Marvel movies.
I'm sure over time I'll probably get numb to that as well, like be on the same page as you. But for me, since, I mean, in the last decade or so, it's still relatively new to adapt this particular fandom from animation to live action. Mm-hmm. It's still kind of frustrating.
Anime is just a new genre in general to some people. Way. It's becoming more mainstream than ever.
I will end the segment by giving some positives. I don't want it to be just a bashing on the live action. So the effects for the bending are really good. Fire bending actually looks like the fire is coming out of their hands and they're not manipulating torches and bonfires like they did in the movie. And they weren't, like in the movie, they weren't generating their own fire.
No.
In the show, they're doing that. It's yes. Great. Earth bending, it's not just pebbles flying around. They're actually moving the ground and walls. The choreography of doing the bending, much better than the live action movie. I definitely will give it those improvements. It makes it better to watch, for sure.
They're saying the names right.
For Uncle Iroh. Yes, saying the names right. It's not Ong, it's Aang.
That was real painful in the movie. Oh, God, that was painful. Every time he said Ong, I wanted to walk out.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough. The actor for Uncle Iroh, I'm actually enjoying this version of him. Uncle Iroh holds a special place dear to my heart from the animated show.
I think for everybody.
So this... yes. I would agree. So seeing this actor's portrayal, I'm pleased. we actually have characters that are, or people that are actually acting as compared to the live action movie. So it is an improvement. You know, for those who are curious, it is an improvement from the movie. I would say, you know, check out the first couple episodes if you are curious, just to see for yourselves the evolution of, you know, special effects from, you know, early 2000s, 2010s till now in terms of, you know, the bending of the elements, the Avatar state, the different kind of animals that appear in the world, like the flying bison and the badger moles. You know, the animal designs are really good. It definitely looks like the characters from the show and not in a weird character model kind of way. So you know how we got like a really realistic looking Pokemon and the Detective Pikachu. Like these were really realistic looking lemurs and other creatures in the show. So Yeah, I would say give the first episode or two a try, if you can. But I understand if you are hesitant not to watch it just because the animated series that we have come to love over the last several years being adapted into live action has just not been done well. The rare occasions so far right now have been One Piece, it seems like. Seems like they managed to get that right. So we're going in the correct direction. I just hope the trend stays in a positive way, and I'll leave it there.
It does kind of feel like One Piece is the exception to the rule, where most every other one has been made. It just doesn't really hit right.
Yeah, I haven't even seen any One Piece anime or movie. Have you guys watched the Kenshin movie? We're warning. I can't say it. Kenshin, the guy with the reverse leg sword.
I have not seen the live action movies yet. No.
Have you seen any of the
three part movies?
Yeah. Have you seen any of the animation anime?
Yes, I've watched the original anime, and I did watch the reboot that aired a couple seasons ago.
Hey, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. And how was the reboot? Was it good?
Yes, the character design is pretty much the same. It just looks like a cleaner version, basically, like updated, like art colors and things like that. But the story is more close to the manga now. But the character designs, to me, they look almost identical. But of course, you know, with it being, you know, early 2020. The details are much better. Animation looks much better. It's nothing like Trigun Stampede, where the character design looks very different.
What's the Trigun? Was that a... that was like a reboot, right?
Yep. They rebooted Trigun, and the character design is a little bit different, and I didn't like how the character looks at all. And that's also, I think that one is also computer animated as well. That is, okay. That doesn't help either.
So more like the
Rurouni Kenshin is not 3D CGI like that. It looks drawn, just like every other show.
Alright. Well, who am I to stop this anime train? Let's go ahead and talk real quick about the trailer for One Punch Man Season 3. I'm not sure if any of you guys saw it yet.
I haven't really watched any One Punch Man in general. Like, first two episodes is all I really watched of the whole show.
Jay is super into it. He posts manga pictures all the time, and I've personally only watched Season 1. I didn't have access to Season 2 up until recently, and I just haven't gotten around to watch it, but I do definitely want to watch Season 3, because the show is absurd. It really is. What did you think, Tasha?
The trailer, to me, it left me excited, because they didn't really show a lot of anything, which is good. Like, I want to be surprised with what's coming, just because I don't read the manga. So in terms of what the next arc is, it kind of, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Avengers Infinity War trailer, where they showed a lot of stuff. They showed the characters, but they didn't really tell you about what it's gonna be about, what the story is. It just left you going, ooh, we know it's coming, but what are we getting into here?
Just enough to kind of build up hype, but not really reveal anything.
Yes, thank you. That's the perfect way to explain it. So, I do have to admit that I need to revisit Season 2. I haven't seen it since it was simulcasted a couple years back, so I don't remember a whole lot. The guy that why am I drawing a blank? What is our main character's name?
Saitama?
Saitama, thank you. I'm like, why am I forgetting his name? The guy that Saitama's up against, the enemy, I don't remember much about him. So I want to go back and revisit season two. I know he's introduced in season two.
Yeah. You can't really be faulted for that, because season two came out 5 years ago.
It's been 5 years already?
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it's time for a rewatch for sure. I was like, yeah.
I saw those dates too. I'm like, oh, wow, I do need to do a rewatch.
Yep. So, I am looking forward to that. And hopefully, it will be very soon that we'll get an actual release date.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. Like I said, I've only watched maybe 1-2 episodes. It was too corny for me. I had to stop. I never went back. But I heard it was supposed to be like a joke. It was supposed to be like a spoof of superheroes or something.
It's exactly what it is. It spoofs itself. It's like a, it's like taking the piss out of the genre. Kind of similar to another show that we'll talk about in a little while, like Naked Gun. You know, it's supposed to be a parody.
Right.
Himself is a parody. But yeah, I think they're thinking probably fall, like around October-ish. It's kind of what they're projecting, but they don't have any solid time. I think they're just kind of basing it on the last releases of the other seasons.
Okay. Yeah, fall will be a good time. I think we're getting... Wait, no. I'm going to backtrack. Never mind. I think I might be wrong about that. I think My Hero Academia is coming earlier than fall.
Is that going to be a movie or another season?
It's another season.
Is the manga for that still ongoing?
Yes.
Oh, yes, wow, okay. Ongoing. So they still have lots they can do, okay.
I'm re-looking up my information here. Yeah, May 4th is the next season of My Hero. So, yeah, definitely not the fall. That's exciting. Oh,
that's coming. That's coming real quick. It's going to sneak right up on us.
Around the corner.
All right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have another reboot. Wait, I was on the right tab anyway. Oh, sorry. Okay, so everybody remembers good old Leslie Nielsen's Naked Gun series, a spoof of the... I think it was a television series first. What was it? Files of Police Squad, I believe. And then it ended up being made into movies. Mm-hmm. Just very, you know, off the cuff and spoofish. But the fact that they're adding Liam Neeson to take over the star role as Detective Devin is a little odd. I don't know what you guys feel about it. Have you guys heard the news yet about this?
I heard they were doing it. And as far as I got, I didn't watch the TV series. I really wasn't a big fan of the movies. So, and I'm cool with Liam Neeson, though. I think he can pull it off. He's funny. He's a good actor, so I think he could do it. I mean, he's doing a lot of serious stuff lately, so I think he kind of needs a break, maybe, but from doing them kind of taken roles, so.
Okay.
Maybe he wants to just have some fun and go for it. You know, he ain't not playing Rachel Gould, and I think that maybe he wants to do something like that. But
yeah, he did mention in our interview that it's he's been typecast
right.
for the last 30 or something years, and he wants mm-hmm. to. I mean, if you've seen him in any of the Seth MacFarlane projects where he kind of plays the straight guy in a comedy, he does that pretty well. What is it, 1,000 Ways to Die in the Desert, and I think he showed up on The Orville too. So he does have comedic chops. It'd just be interested to see him flex it. Tosh, were you familiar at all with the Naked Gun series?
I am not, no. This okay. is out of my wheelhouse.
That's all good. It's all in the... I mean, it's basically like a Scary Movie and all those before those movies were around. The same sort of... You know, they take the tropes of a genre and just make a huge parody about them.
That's pretty much it. That's the best way to describe it. Just Scary Movie, but based on cop movies. That's it. Yep. It's the same thing. You're just making fun of all of those stereotypes, and it's a big joke.
Now, I've heard of the movies. There was Naked Gun, and then Naked Gun 2.5, and then Naked Gun 3 1/3.
Yeah, 33 1/3, yeah.
Oh, 33 1/3. Yeah, I've heard of them, but I didn't know there was a TV show as well.
It's old. It's older than me. It's like old. So 70s, 60s. I've never seen it. I mean, I've seen it maybe on, like, when the movie came out. I heard talk of it, but I've never seen it.
Okay. It does look like the director for Hot Rod and Pop Star Never Stop Stopping. Or Never Stop. It's Never Stop Never Stopping, isn't it? I think the Andy Samberg.
I think so.
Parody of I think it's like a Justin Timberlake kind of spoof. So, I mean, he's already got it. I don't remember what Hot Rod was about. That was another spoof movie too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I believe so.
Okay. Well, it looks like they got the right people behind it. And they have the script being written by the guys who did the recent Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers show that was really weird. Did you guys watch that on Disney? It was like a spoof on themselves, where they were like retired actors from their old cartoon, but they're like living in
the
real world. Yeah.
I saw that movie.
You said that sounds familiar. I saw that too.
TV show.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say the movie.
Oh yeah, no, I did see that movie.
Well, it seems like it's good hand. It'd be interesting to see. It looks like it's looking for a July 2025 release, which is pretty close to the Superman movie that's going to be coming out in 2025. I don't know if you guys saw the. They did a table read of the script, and they took a photo of the cast. Has everybody in it?
I did not see that. No.
I wish I remembered the names of everybody. But the actor who played Beast in the more recent X-Men movies is going to be Lex Luthor. Nathan Fillion is going to be Guy Gardner. Holt? Yes, Nicholas Holt. Yeah. The actor who played Darwin.
Yeah.
He's going to be Mr. Terrific, I believe.
I saw that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's got a pretty solid cast. I remember what are they having? Lois, Hot Girl, Metamorpho, The Engineer, I think, which is it's a character from The Authority. Is also going to be in there, so that's how they're going to kind of bridge those characters. Probably going to be the one playing the serious role, because I know this is supposed to be a little more lighthearted. If I remembered how to, or if I knew how to put this in the page here, I would show you guys. But if you guys look it up, you'd be able to. You'll be able to see it. But with it also came a kind of like a snowy rendition of Superman's costume. Not really his whole costume, but his S more specifically. And it looks very much like the Kingdom Come S, minus the black in the background, where it's just a stripe down the center to make the S. A lot of speculation about that, but... I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping they can do Superman good. They really dropped the ball with not letting Henry Cavill let loose.
100% agree. I still feel very bad about all that between him leaving The Witcher to come back to do Superman and then be let go.
Yeah. Yeah, Warner Brothers really dropped the ball and did him dirty, for sure. I don't know what they were thinking. Obviously, they just wanted to distance themselves from the Zack Snyder influences as much as they could, as fast as they could. It didn't matter what they cost, and now we have to start all over again.
And that's where I'm at with all of this stuff.
Comic book runs, it gets scrapped and redone all over again.
That's what I'm saying. We've been down this road before. They get your feelings hurt. I didn't even know the Avatar creators were involved until you said it earlier. I didn't know the original guys were there. We've been down this road. Yeah, they
and then they left.
Yeah. That's why I don't read a lot of behind the scenes and what's going on articles. I don't read any of that. I want to go in the movie as fresh as possible because I don't want to be mad thinking about they're going to do this, that, the other. I don't watch but one trailer. That's just so I could talk to y'all. If I could avoid that one trailer, I wouldn't watch it. I want to be as fresh as possible so I don't have any preconceived notions about anything.
I wish my FOMO would let me do that. I wanna know everything all the time. Mm-hmm. I ruin it for myself.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to know nothing. What movie? I don't even remember. It was some movie we were watching when we was in the other universe, and the trailer came on. I literally cover my eyes and like plug my ears. Like, nope, I'm not going to watch it. Not going to watch it. I'm serious about that. I don't want to know nothing, anything. Just leave me alone.
Yeah. After the fact, I kind of wish I didn't watch the Deadpool trailer because that revealed a lot of the direction of what that movie was going to be doing.
I'm so not excited about that movie. I can't get. I couldn't give less a damn about this movie, the Deadpool trailer. I have no interest at all other than just the fact that it's a movie about superheroes. Oh, I don't care about that movie. I can't even stress to y'all how much I don't care about that movie. I don't like Deadpool, and I don't like Ryan Reynolds, and you put them two together, I don't enjoy it. I'm not looking forward to it. I don't like Wolverine. So three people I don't like in the show, it's just not interesting to me. Even though it's supposed to be the big savior of Marvel, I don't care. I truly don't care.
It's trying to make itself out to be like that, for sure.
Yeah. I just don't care about the people in it. I mean, it's Deadpool. It is. So let's just see what happens. But, I don't give a damn if I see it or not, honestly. Y'all got my Cliff Notes version.
But I think I'll see it just because that trailer did leave me curious. I'm like, why is Deadpool at the TVA? I need answers.
Well, did you watched Deadpool 2, right?
A second one? Yes.
Yeah, at the end, they recharged and he stole Cable's time watch and was just jumping all over the place doing a bunch of crap. So I can see with that being the reason why TVA is on him, because he's messing around with the timeline.
I think I forgot about that. Is that why his wife is alive in the trailer? Yeah.
His wife and the certain members of the X-Force are still alive.
I might just watch that part again. I can't sit through the whole movie. I just might watch the end credits again just to see that.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is. The very end, the end credits.
I remember that part. I just don't remember it that well. But I'm not going to sit through the whole movie again just to get to it. So I'm just going to fast forward to that part when I work.
Yeah, it's, I think it was Yukio and Negasonic Teenage Warhead sitting there. They're the ones who fixed it. And then they're just like, what have we done? Giving him a time machine. As he goes and kills his X-Men Origins Wolverine version of Deadpool.
Yep.
And then shoots himself. Green Lantern script.
Green Lantern was good. I'll stand by that. I'll stand by that forever. I like that movie.
Yeah. I think if they would have cast him as like a Kyle Rayner instead of Hal Jordan, I think it would have been a better movie. It would have fit the tone of his acting better.
Mm-hmm.
He's not serious enough to be Hal.
No. I could see him more as a Guy Gardner. I just definitely, I do agree that he's a little not a, like you said, very not serious enough to be a what's his name? What's the original? What's his name?
Hal Jordan.
Yeah, Hal Jordan. I wanted to call him everything, yeah. Everything but Hal Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. You need an older actor to be him. I think it would work, but we're going to be getting some new Green Lantern soon, so that'll be nice. Nathan Fillion will be Guy Gardner in the Superman movie, and he'll introduce, I think, potentially a Green Lantern television show that might be coming on Max in the next couple of years.
I can see that. That could be a television show, like a police show in space. I could see something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it could too. But that's
I don't mess it up for you guys.
Yeah, considering it's been teased and canceled, I think twice now before James Gunn took over. Yeah, hopefully they're either salvaging some old scripts or they're going to do something new. But I mean, if anybody knows how to bring obscure characters to the the big screen, it's James Gunn, and make it interesting.
Definitely.
He did it with the Suicide Squad, and he did it with all the Guardians. I mean, up until that point, nobody even knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were.
True.
And now they're probably the best trilogy in the MCU right now. One of, at least. But that is all I had. Did you guys have anything else outside of the list that you guys were watching this week?
I wanted to ask about playing. And I know somebody, I'm reading a bunch, but I want to ask, going back to the Avatar, everybody saw that they're doing the movies. Are they going to be animated movies?
Yes.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it, and they're about Aang, from what I understand.
Yes, it's supposed to take place after the TV show. There's going to be a book, a movie about Aang. I think there's a movie about Kiyoshi. And then I think there's a movie about Zuko. But don't quote me on that.
And I know they need to do that Zuko's mom. I mean, I read the comics. I know what happened to her. But I would love to see it animated.
I agree. I haven't read the books, but I would love to see that animated.
And I think Avatar, I think we gave a list last week or whenever we recorded. To me, it's like one of the best cartoons ever made. I really loved it. And I also think that the Avatar 2, Korra was that good. Only thing that Korra had wrong with it is I didn't want Korra. I wanted to see more of Aang. I think that was a problem for a lot of folks. It's not that Korra was bad. It's just I didn't want Korra. I wanted to see Aang's story. I really wanted to see the next chapter of Aang. But I get it. I think the whole plan was what? For them to do each series was going to be another Avatar? Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
But I didn't want that. I wanted Aang. So I guess this is their way of finally closing out Aang's story. And I hope they give us another one. Rock is the next cycle? Is water Earth?
Yes.
Yeah. Earth. I hope they pick up with another Earth series. That'd be great. But that's all I have for that. I just wanted to mention that while you got Watashi was here.
I didn't get a chance to tell you guys yet, but I think around Christmas. Maybe it was a little bit after Christmas. I finally watched season one of Invincible. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. Good show. I was like, what am I watching? It was crazy. So part two of season two is coming next week. We did not watch the first half of season two yet. We were waiting for the second half to drop, and then we're going to watch all of it. So I'm really excited for that. Yeah, I know you guys were telling me about Invincible for a while. It was just on the back burner. And I was like, you know what? Let's finally dive into this because season two is, about to release. And it's in two parts. So I'm like, let's just get through this. And it's very good. I wasn't expecting as much gore as I saw, but
it's very violent.
It was good. Oh yeah,
I thought you were going to say you were pregnant. I really did. I didn't tell you guys, but I am. That's how I was getting ready to say.
Like, framed up something like
that. That's what I thought you was getting ready to tell us. Just announcing them to the world.
Nope.
That's why she has a camera turned off, right? Is the belly sticking out? She don't want us to see the belly. Yet.
The detective.
let's see what else is going on. Not much else, really, aside from me still silently hoping that some miracle we get a final season of Young Justice and it's not just canceled or with and forgotten about for a second time. Because there's still no update on if it's going to be truly scrapped or not under this new Warner Brothers Discovery merger. Mm-hmm. It's still in the balance.
That last season of Young Justice was told kind of fast. They would skip things. Like, I don't know how many clones they had of Wally. Is it Wally West? Not Wally West. Yeah, I think it was Wally. It was like a...
Roy Harper.
Yeah, Harper. It was like he had clones and a big clone that was Guardian. Like, when did that happen? It was like a whole bunch of those Harpers. That happened in season one?
Because that Roy Harper worked for Cadmus. He was initially one of the Cadmus employees. And then he was freed from the control of those little shoulder monkey things.
Okay, I remember that. They need to give me some more, a flashback or something. And I was like, where'd this guy come from? But it was something else. But if they do close it out, it don't need 20 episodes. Just a good 16 episodes, maybe 12, and be done.
I want. I was like, even if it's just one final season, give it a proper closure.
We need to close off the Dark Side arc, right?
Yes.
Because, I mean, what season? He was teased at the end of what, season 3, and then we haven't seen anything from him since?
I don't even remember. Talking so long ago.
I think he was teased at the end of season 2.
Okay.
Maybe season 3 as well. We just finished season 2. We're doing a rewatch. Well, I'm doing a rewatch for the millionth time. And I'm getting my boyfriend caught up. And we're in the middle of season 3 right now.
Okay.
There's a lot of... There's a good amount of stuff that they need to put a bookend on. Like, I need to know, is my man Wally dead or is he stuck in the Speed Force? Just confirm that for me. Seasons 3 and 4, we have not figured that out. Season 5, please tell me. I need to know.
Can't leave you hanging like that.
No. They left the community hanging when they canceled it after season 2. I didn't hop on board on the show until years after that. But still, we need to know.
100%. It's something that they definitely need to do.
I think he's in the Speed Force. I just want confirmation. That's all.
I mean, it would make sense that if he was. I mean, that's usually whenever a speedster disappears, that's where they're hanging out.
Yep.
But his body was, like, broken into particles. So it's like, it could be that if he had just faded, like, as if they had the animation of him, like, phasing and be like through an object, then I'd be like, oh yeah, he definitely just phased into the Speed Force or through a timeline or whatever. But his body just... particles flew up, and I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah, I want to say, if I remember it correctly, it is reminiscent of how Barry ran himself into the Speed Force during the Crisis on Infinite Earths, where he ran himself so fast that he actually disintegrated himself.
Yes, he did, and showed up in Marvel for a little bit.
And he was literally out of the comics for like 20 years before they brought him out.
Mm-hmm.
That's see? All I got.
Yeah. See, Tosh, by the time they bring him back, the baby will be 2 years old. You know, you can watch it together.
Now he's going to be on that kick forever. It's in his head now. It's a worm.
That's what I did. I raised a couple of them. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, the only thing I got is I watched, I want to say it was probably about a month ago now, season 2 of Halo on Paramount came out. I know it wasn't exactly the mind-blowing season of television that everybody wanted it to be when it came out, but if you're not somebody who plays Halo and is, you know, hung up on all the lore and everything like that, or even if you watch it as a show that's not actually Halo, it's not terrible. This season is actually a lot better. I know it had a lot of wonky CGI for last season, especially when the Covenant were on screen, but they've kind of learned their lesson. They kind of use them sparingly, keep them in the shadows or in obscured by a mist or something like that so far as we've seen. It still has some story elements that are really could do without characters that are just kind of there to fill in time. There's a whole plot with a city of pirates and somebody trying to escape from it. It was a refugee from the first season, and it's that whole part is boring, but a lot of the bureaucracy with the military and them missing Spartans and them being on Reach, which is a game that I played, Halo Reach, it kind of brought up some memories of that, even though it's not the same teams that were on there. It kind of is telling the story of Reach before, I forget the name of the team, the Spartans were there. But yeah, you know, it's something to watch. It's not terrible. I'm enjoying it so far, other than the one little plot that's kind of dumb. But beyond that, I'm just going to wait for Star Trek Discovery to be coming on here in another, 6 weeks or so, the last season of that.
While on that topic of Halo, one, I didn't even realize season 2 came out. I don't think it was as promoted to me as much as season 1 was.
Yeah, they did a bad job advertising it.
But just to stay on that topic, I did not watch the trailer for the Fallout TV show. I don't know if you guys wanted to talk about that, if you've seen it, or maybe have comments about how video games are now becoming TV shows with not only Fallout, but also the spinoff for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. There's a Knuckles TV show.
Oh, yeah. There is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw some of it. It looks very Fallout. I mean, they have the aesthetics down, right? The power armor, the vault dwellers, and all the mutants out in the real world. And I just don't know. I wasn't particularly blown away. I think I played Fallout 3, and I was, I don't know, kind of bored with it by the time I finished it. It'd be interesting to see where they're going. I know they got some good people in there. They got Walton Goggins in there. I can't remember there's a couple other people that I recognize. It should be pretty good. I mean, it's Amazon. I mean, they at least have the money to put forth some good stuff, you know, if it's not connected to the Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Well, I don't know anything about Fallout, so I don't really have I wasn't gravitated to watch the trailer, but I was just curious if either of you had seen it, or if you've played the games wanted to bring up a comparison between what you saw and
it'll be interesting to get see how they bring forth the retrofuturism.
Cheers. Dante had brought it to me. That was an hour ago.
You're okay.
I thought I had it on mic. It's all good. I'm sorry.
But yeah, it looks like they have the aesthetics of, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was like in the 50s or 60s is when like technology stopped, because that's when the bombs dropped and everybody got in their bunkers. So it's like a retro kind of future based on old tech. It'll be interesting for sure to see lot of the nuclear tech. Yeah. Everybody just kind of, I want to say it was like 700 years or something that they were, maybe not that long, but you know, entire generations of people were born and died and grew up in these vaults. And then they're coming out of, you know, living in a, you know, hermetically sealed environment to the, you know, barren wastelands of what used to be, I think it was Boston was the area you played in one of the games. So I think it'll be interesting. It just depends on, you know, how they want to tell their story, I guess.
Right.
Okay. What was the other one you mentioned?
That's all I got. Oh, Knuckles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think we mentioned that a few weeks ago. I think the only thing I brought up was it looked like they had taken some footage of downtown Reno, where it was actually going to be showing, looks like the one of the, I think it might have been either Virginia Street or 2nd Street, and then they're also going to be filming it inside the bowling stadium, like where Kingpin was filmed. Oh. I definitely recognize those.
Yeah, the question was just more of if you, either of you had any thoughts about the recent introduction of video games being adapted into TV shows, with Fallout announced and then Knuckles being announced, and we still have the Tomb Raider series coming, but I think that's going to be animated, if I'm remembering correctly.
Oh, they're going to animate Tomb Raider?
But that's probably going to be a topic for another time.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that. I know that I think video games, after the success of Super Mario, is probably going to be the next venture for these studios when the interest in superheroes has been going down lately. Not so much that, you know, superheroes aren't interesting, it's just that the movies they've been making with them aren't exactly winning any hearts. It makes sense that they would go the route of video games, because that's another medium with already established lore and a built-in audience. You know, it's in their minds, I'm sure they're thinking it's easy money.
We'll see how things develop over the next few years, because I know that they're not going to stop. It's more stuff is just definitely going to keep coming. I was like, hasn't Twisted Metal been renewed for season 2?
Yep.
Yeah, so it'll keep coming.
Hey, and that show was actually pretty good. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It didn't take itself seriously, and it just played enough into the genre of vehicle combat to be interesting, while also doing the whole post-apocalyptic survival kind of driving across the United States kind of story. It's pretty good. I would recommend everybody, you know, give it a watch, or at least give it a try. I think it's really funny more than anything else, honestly.
Where's that streaming again? Is that Paramount?
It's Peacock, I believe.
Peacock, okay.
Well, if that is it, then I think we have successfully did another episode. We held it together, all three of us. We powered through. It was great to have you back again, Tosh. We hope you are well enough to come to future recordings again.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
Mike, always a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And again, Tosh, it's good to hear you, because you hiding the bump, but it's definitely good to get to have you back. Where's Sally? We didn't hear Sally running around.
She's laying next to me sleeping.
What?
As cats do.
She's been very, like, very tired lately. I think her medicine's been bothering her a little bit.
That's unfortunate.
She's right here.
Yeah.
Oh, and there we go.
Meow.
She heard you call her name.
That's what it was. Exactly what it was.
It's like a demon. You say the name, yeah, and
who summoned me?
Arrive. All right. Well, from the Multiverse Unlimited podcast, we thank you all for listening. I am Platinum Rob. With regards to everyone else who couldn't make it tonight, we have Tosh and Professor Mike, and we're going to sign off.
Good night.
See you later, peace, everybody.